Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Apostolic and Prophetic Voice Let's Talk About It broadcast. This show is designed to equip, educate, and empower people from all walks of life with the message of the Kingdom of God. We are so thankful for those of you who are joining us tonight. We have with us Pastor Robert Charles, who is the Apostle of Life Nation. He is an architect and artist and photographer by profession. He has been in the ministry since 2004. He was called in 1997, and he is the pastor of Life Nation Kingdom Community, which will be celebrating their third year anniversary. So we are just excited about tonight's show. He's going to be coming from some prophetic teaching tonight on loving God and God being our true benefactor. And right now we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up in prayer. And we're just excited about what the Lord is going to do tonight. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the callers that are on tonight, Father, who are excited about your word, Father, who are excited about delving deeper into the things of you, into your heart, and into your mind. Father God, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven, that we might receive your word, that we might be strengthened by your word tonight, Father, that we might develop and envelop even more and more intimate relationship with you. God, we thank you for this word that will be coming forth from your man of God. Father, we ask that you just bless our host and founder, Apostle Janet Clary. Bless, Father God, this ministry and those who will join us on the call tonight. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for giving us your eyes of understanding. We thank you, God, for giving us a heart that is a good ground and ready to receive your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And we have Pastor Robert right in the studio with us tonight. So I'm going to turn it over to him. Pastor Robert, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, glory to God. We thank God for being here tonight. Thank you for having me on again, Apostle Clary and Pastor Shante. I am very, very excited about the word tonight. I will say one thing before I get started is that I'm struggling with some allergies today. So I pray that you hear me very well, but I know this word will go forth, and I pray that it will bless you all the way it has blessed me. So I thank God for it. Today, I'm going to be teaching about, you know, we have a message about loving God, and we can talk all day about loving God. And even that song by, you know, the Binions, the David Nicole Binion about, "Oh, How He Loved Me," I tell you, it's been ringing in our spirits, been ringing in my heart. But the Lord really started speaking to me some things real significant. I mean, the last couple of weeks have been life-challenging. I had a life-threatening physical challenge that occurred out of the clear blue. No sign, no record at all. But I thank God that his power got us through that, and we're doing much, much better. Also, the Lord began to speak to my heart right upon the exit of that challenge I dealt with. So I pray that you will be blessed today by this word, because it came at a great price to get this word out to you, okay? Now, we talked about loving God. Really what I want to talk about is your true benefactor versus broken cisterns. And, you know, we'll hear more about it as I go along. But what was it, Friday night, I was with some other ministers, and we were talking, and God began to speak to my heart more into this. And one thing that we look at, too, is that in this day and this age that we are in, you know, people, you know, by the millions, I mean millions and billions, actually, we got 7+ billion people on this planet. In this current time of existence that we live in, and billions of people are choosing culture over Jesus, over God, I mean, people are choosing their government over Jesus. People are choosing political icons over Jesus. And people are even choosing entertainment and figurehead in entertainment over Jesus. I mean, the Lord speaking to me said that there are vast amount of followers left and right. They would protest. They would march. They would wait in long, long lines day and night. They would even die for the cause. I mean, they would stand in snow. They would stand in rain. I mean, in a scorching sun. They would quote these different things about culture. I mean, they will scream. They would even express themselves in worshipful positions to those entities. I mean, people will stand in long lines. They will file long applications to get some kind of benefit. I mean, people will even spend outrageous sums of money waiting for some type of benefit or salvation, really trying to get these things to love them, to share some love with them. However, when it comes to Jesus, 15, 20 minutes, I mean, let's not even think about a whole hour. It becomes very tough for people to even make it through that time. You know, when it comes to Jesus or what Jesus loves, people are silent or even missing in action. You see, so what happens is we have to really understand, yes, we can look at church this, church that, but we're not really talking about church. We're talking about relationship with our loving Father. I mean, you know, our Daddy God, you know, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. We just have to understand that, yes, God is a spirit, and people have a tendency to equate God being in the spirit as God not being a tangible aspect of their lives. Because people, they can see government. They can see politicians. They can see, you know, cultural attributes. I mean, they can see people, entertainment icons, but you really can't quite see God the way you see those things. And so people will have a tendency to take these elements, these attributes and these elements, and deify them, which means they bring a certain, they put a certain divinity on these things, which is like, oh my God, that is, in essence, idolatry. You know, God, I mean, we know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me or even beside me, according to Exodus, you know, chapter, you know, Exodus 32 or whatever that is. They don't, God said He don't want no other God before Him or beside Him in your heart. And today we just do the very exact opposite of what that commandment talks about. I know people say that's the Old Testament, that's the law, that's this and that, but Jesus came to fulfill the law. And if you have Jesus, if you accepted Him as Lord and Savior, and you proclaim His name as a Christ follower, Christian, you're basically saying that He is Lord of your life. So what we have to understand is if He is Lord of your life, why are you following all these other lords as if they were a Christ or a Messiah to you? You see, they can't do anything. Let's go to the scriptures real quickly before I go into the words that God shared directly. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 19 through 24. And I'm also going to jump down to verse 33. I will be reading this from the Message Bible. Again, that's Matthew 6, verse 19 through 24 and verse 33. Out of the Message, it says, "Do not hoard treasure down here on earth, where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. stockpile treasure in heaven, where it is safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. That was so much in that verse. Now verse 22 says, your eyes are windows unto your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and mistrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. In verse 24, you cannot worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt to the other. And this particular reference says, you cannot worship God and mammon or money. Verse 33, people who do not know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Praise the Lord. Steep your life in God reality. I love this message, Bible. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Oh, praise God. So that is something that we have to look at in the verses. So, you know, we have to look here. It's like where your heart, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And it's not about so much about having material things versus not having material things. The key is that what do you treasure? What do you treasure means you hold an esteem and high value. Will you regard it higher than anything else in value that you would have? And I tell you, for many in this culture, this time we're in, the treasure is not God. God and his throne, I mean, people can't even go to prayer. You get it. You get a concert, you get a football game, you get even a presidential address, and you will have people by the droves coming to that activity. I mean, at the first inauguration of our current president, well, there was like 2 million people out there or more on the lawn to hear a swearing-in and a speech, okay? However, people won't even, I mean, people stayed there all night, overnight, days until that time. But to get someone to come to church a few minutes early or even come on time to a church service or to a place where God will be speaking through his mouthpiece, through his messenger, or will we be talking to him? Will we be praying to the Lord God? People can't even come. I mean, you can fill up a whole house with all these activities, but he come down to prayer, and I'm talking about not just here where we are in the D.C. metro area, but even in places in Florida and other places. Everybody's having a similar problem. People don't want to show up for prayer. They don't want to talk to God. They don't want to talk to God publicly. They barely even want to talk to God in their own private environment. But they'll spend all this time absorbing all these things about culture. And culture, as you know it, your culture is great, you know, when the morality is on above board. But the current culture we have now, morality is not just slipping, it is free falling. Everything that is detestable, everything that is wicked, everything that is just completely insane to the human race and to just your mind and your well-being is being promoted and legislated as something plausible and good for your life. You see, so we have to realize what we got to deal with. People treasure these things. How can you treasure something that is deadly to your existence? And the thing that has life to your existence, you run away from it. So this is the thing the Lord spoke to me about. It says that, it's in first person, because that's how he gave it to me. He says, when you look to government, or world systems for benefits. You trust, you beg, you believe. You even ask God, me, for my help. You are indeed not looking for me and my benefits. The Lord says, I am generous. And nothing on earth can compare to my benefits and the life I certainly bring through my son. The Lord says, I give you salvation. The Lord says, I give you favor. Your salvation is not of men, not of man-made systems, nor is your salvation produced from your humanity. Your salvation is belief and adherence to my word, my son, Jesus Christ. The Lord says, you wanted an earthly king, and look how that has worked out for you over the generations. Kings have failed over and over again. Look at King Saul, the first king of God's chosen people. He ended up in suicide, killing himself and his son. Look at the other kings down the line. They all were weeble wobble, for God one moment, God another moment, for God another moment, repenting, and then back to idolatry. And that has been a vacillating effect even to our current generation today. Even our current generation today, we're actually having people not even vacillate away from God. They don't even want God altogether. Period. You see? And God says, you see how the earthly kings have worked out for you. Now the Lord says, now you want the king's benefits. So, if your kings have failed me over and over again, what do you think of your king's benefits? This is earthly kings that the Lord is speaking. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will see how generous and how benefit laden, heavy loaded, and weighted down I am with benefits for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I pray y'all hear that again. I'm going to read that again, the Lord says. It says that if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will see how generous and benefit-laden, heavy-loaded, and weighted down I am with generosity for you. It says, your kings have turned their backs in defiance to me. Therefore, their kingdoms are not in the light. The Lord says that I am the light of the world and all eternity, and my word lights you as your heart and your life faces me. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He says, if you turn away from me, you, along with all your deeds, are in darkness. My Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. You and all your deeds are, this is the word of the Lord. He says that if you turn away from me, you, along with all of the deeds that you do, are in darkness. The Lord says, let me ask you this. When has darkness benefited you? The Lord says, yes, you are silent because darkness leaves you prey to spiritual savagery. The darkness robs, kills you, and lays waste to your legacy. This is the word of the Lord. If you turn your hearts to me, love me, turn away from vain religious rituals, and insincere human piety, you will receive what I have predestined for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord says that I have eternal treasures that have endured from beyond the foundation of the world for you. The Lord says, will you receive me, and will you receive my treasure that I have stored up for you? The Lord says, if your heart's answer is yes, and you believe in my Son, you love me and follow me, then you are welcome to my benefit. Let me pause right there. The Lord is speaking quite a bit here. So the one thing we have to understand here is, and I want to exegete some of this, the Lord speaks there. We have to understand, you know, I was looking at the last few days about light, okay? When you look at light, I look at mechanics need light, and specifically, especially surgeons need light. When there's a problem, when someone goes on the surgery table, they have these big, gigantic, multi-LED lamps that are so bright. They are so bright. They are so vast. And not only that, they have those lamps that light up the whole environment before they do the surgery. And on top of that, the surgeon has a light on his forehead so that as he goes into that environment where he's going to make it and repair and bring health back again, there is an amazing amount of light that is illuminated onto that subject. And the area that is need to help, that's what's in the light. So one thing we look at when the Lord is speaking, he says that if you turn to me, you know, I will heal you of your diseases. I will heal you of your problems. I will heal you of all of those troubles that you experience on earth. But you have to be turned unto me. You can't be turned away from me. If you are in darkness, then you cannot be operated on. My love can't reach you. My hands can't get to where it wants to get on you if you are turned away in darkness. My God. So what the Lord says, if you're in darkness, darkness does no benefit. How many people, I know a lot of y'all like that horror. I don't like horror. I do not like horror movies. Not because I can't watch them, because primarily it's just wickedness that I just prefer not to engage in and get in my spirit, okay? Most movies you have that are horror, what's the central theme around these movies? The central theme is utter darkness and depravity. You got a haunted house, you have dark woods, or you have total blackness, or you have some kind of demon type object or animal or something jumping out of darkness and reaping havoc upon a prey. So this is what happens. You know, we willfully turn away from the love of God and try to embrace darkness, and all we do is embracing something that is out there to completely annihilate us. Like I said, the darkness, it robs you, it kills you, it lays waste to your legacy. So we have a culture now, we put all these things about love. We miss quoting love with our current culture. We're talking about you can love what you want to love. You can love your dog. You can marry your dog. You can consummate with your dog. You can love the same sex and try to consummate with the same sex and even marry the same sex. Even down to the Supreme Court trying to back these things. We have your government backing, you know, a man's penis doesn't go into another man's anus. And they're saying this is love. That is utter depravity. That is the enemy in darkness taking you prey and destroying the legacy that you would have with raising a family. Same thing with a woman. Culture says a woman can love another woman and kiss them and do all these different things, and you know, that is totally unnatural, unseeming. But the culture says this is okay. The culture's in darkness. The king of this land says it's okay. So therefore, people follow after it, and all they wind up in the end of the day is having their lives robbed from them. God said, that's not love. That is darkness. That's depravity. And people put so much of their treasure towards these things. If you look, just even from a political standpoint, we do a lot of political advocacy, you will see that many of these, there are billionaires out there that are anointed by the dragon, Satan himself, to accumulate wealth and treasure on earth with a depraved mind, where they will sit there and fund and help lobby and bring, you know, special interests to the things that are darkness. A lot of homosexuality advocates, they are billionaires. They are very, very wealthy. That's why they try to buy the media. They have not tried. They work on buying the media. They work at buying liberal arts, education, and colleges and things like that. And what they do is they try to turn the culture away from a God and Christ-centered worldview. Now, when you have, God says, do you love me or do you love your government? People are so busy trying to get a government some kind of benefit. They want to get a 501c3. They want to get a 501c4. They want to get this benefit. They want to get this tax break, or we want to get this type of thing. And God says that the government is of this world and of this culture, of this time, I'm not against government in its true sense of administration, but when the leadership embraces darkness and turns away from God, they're going to legislate that. They have the power to stroke the pen to legislate against the things of God, and they have to make you follow it. So in this time now, will you love me more than the laws that are made against me? Will you love me more than the laws that are made against me? Don't be so busy trying to get a break, because the wickedness breaks you. And what I look at you is like, I was reading another article about something, and it said something in there about the fact that if you want some kind of government benefit, oh, that's what it's about, education. It's the H.R. 5 bill that's trying to get passed for the Student Success Act. They, you know, basically trying to take the children away from the right of the parents to have them in private school to train them. And one thing they said, if you want some type of government oversight, you will have governmental bondage, because they're not there just to give you a benefit. They are there to control you, and now with their agenda being an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-faith in God mandate that they have, it was declared last week that this nation, again, is no longer a Christian nation. This was declared by the leader of the free world. And when they say that, that is a direct hit against the love of God and his son, Jesus Christ. So if you are in government, government should be new. They should be saying what a nation is as far as religion versus this or that. They're there to administrate and legislate the people and the laws to help them go forward. Praise God. Pastor Shante has an interjection she wants to share.
I just want to say that, when we talk about government oversight, that a lot of people think that they're going to get these benefits without some kind of exchange happening. But they are not just there to give you freebie benefits. If you are accepting monies from the government, understand that there is an agenda to control, to convert, and to subvert your Christian worldview. And that can be seen even in the form of them saying, well, if we're going to give you this money, then we want the ability to, for example, put someone on your governing board that may not be a Christian, or that may be a homosexual, or that may be a Muslim. And so you've got to look at what is really going on. What is the other hand, per se, hiding behind its back, while the other hand is giving its hand and saying, hey, we want to give you these opportunities. So especially for those who are pastors, who are leaders, who are writing grants and those kinds of things. These are things you need to keep in mind as you are applying for different types of assistance, as you are applying for different kinds of grants. Make sure you understand the requirements and make sure you're reading the fine print so that you are not entrapped into something that's going to go against your Christian worldview.
Okay, so praise God. So the thing we have to understand, this is, I mean, we understand every nation is founded through pretty much a government system, a leadership system, a system of administration. Okay, other countries around the world, everybody's called a minister. In America, they're called directors and presidents and vice presidents and all that thing. Well, the thing we have to understand is that God is greater than your government. He is greater. He founded, he made man in his image, okay? Man decided they want to run away from being God's image, and this running away from God's image is now before you trying to tell you to run away from God's image and trying to use a pen and a law to tell you to run away from God's image. So we have to understand that if you love God and your treasure is with the Lord, you will not digest and absorb these anti-God agendas, whether it be in the world or whether it's even in the church. A lot of churches that are getting large and very, very, very large, you know, mega churches, what happens is they are so engrossed with pleasing people and rubbing shoulders with government officials to the point where they lost their cutting edge of love for the Lord. So things that are really there that God wants to really pour out upon the sheep, they withhold that because they want to continue to limit themselves to the benefit of a humanity-based system. And God said, that's walking and living beneath the benefit that I have for you. My Jesus, Lord God, help us all. Help us all today, Lord. Just here, let me go back to what the Lord was saying, okay? It says, the Lord said, I have eternal treasures that have endured from the foundation of the world that are for you. Will you receive them? Now, this is the Lord speaking, okay? Now, if I interject here, we have to understand and say all these things that people are trying to take away, God out of everything, God out of government, God out of schools, God out of business, and what are they putting in place of God? They're putting in immorality. They're putting in illegal substances. Even in Colorado, they have a problem with a woman having marijuana babies, where they're having struggles and problems with the children, and now the nine people on the board, former board heads of the Federal Drug Administration, they are trying to write up, they wrote a letter to the Supreme Court to say that, please overturn this law of legalizing marijuana. It's destroying the people. So we have to understand, look at this particular case, the things that humanity outside of God is pushing upon your life is bringing destruction to the people. That destruction, I don't care how you may think or whatever, destruction is not enduring. So if you embrace darkness, you embrace destruction, it will not endure. God and the things of the Lord God endure from generation to generation for all eternity. So if you embrace that, you will never lose out or be limited or get backstroked or backslapped. Okay? Lord Jesus, the Lord says, listen up. My loving kindness better than life itself. That comes out of Psalm 63 in verse 3, the very first part. God's loving kindness, he says, my loving kindness is better than life itself. So God's love, if you love him and he loves you back, his love is greater than life. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. So that's what Jesus comes to give. And God says his love is greater than even that life. My God, His love endures for all eternity, and He has your name on it.
Amen.
Well, do you want your name on God's heart in His book? I'm destined to believe, this is me speaking, that the book of life is actually God's heart. So I believe that God has all these names and all these people that form written right there in His heart. So when His heart opens up, your name comes out, and that love that's greater than life comes towards you. I'm a living witness. I tell you, even being in several life-threatening situations where I had to stare at death and I started seeing myself going through this tunnel, I had to call on the name of the Lord, and all of a sudden His love comes at me, and all of a sudden it makes this darkness and death run away. So therefore, I continue to have life in God. Let me keep going. Praise the Lord. He said, the Lord reigns. He said, I reign. I am clothed with majesty. I am robed. I have girded myself with power. So look at this here. God's love is so great. His presence is so great that think about what you wear today. People put on suits, nice shoes, dresses, skirts, whatever it is. And that's something that you put on that's the outer wear. So think about it. Look at your clothes and look at your life. Your clothes is no comparison to your human life. It's just a little surface thing that you put on. So in other words, the majesty of God is just a little surface thing that's put on the outside. Can you get past the surface? Majesty is at the surface. Oh, my Lord. So if you can get past just the majesty, you go into His heart, you're going to see something greater than majesty. You're going to see something greater than power, because that's the love of God that He opens up to you to receive of Him. When He opens up His garment and lets you in, oh, there is things that you will behold from Him that is unbelievable. He will show you things out of time. I mean, God has shown me things. He showed Pastor Shante some things that are out of, I mean, we can't even believe the things that God has shown us. And these are just barely beyond the surface. I mean, it's like our generation can't even comprehend some of these things when we try to share it. Oh, my God. The Lord says, His throne is established from old. He said, I am from everlasting to everlasting. My Lord Jesus, let me tell you something. God says that I bless, I affectionately give honor to those who carry my name. I speak well. When I speak from what's within me. And it comes through all heaven. And it's spoken through all eternity. Eternity past and eternity forward. When I speak a word of blessing and favor upon your life, I'm speaking not just for your now. I'm speaking of your past, and I'm speaking to your future. No human being can give you that blessing. No one, from the president to the vice president to the Supreme Court to the legislators, nobody can bless you the way God can bless you. So God says, here I am, loaded with all these benefits. I'm here with all this glory. I'm here with all this majesty. I'm here with all these things with your name on it. And you won't even come. You have your back turned towards me. Here I am with all this light and all this glory and all this majesty, and you have your back turned on me looking at utter darkness. You're focused on Stephen King, how the enemy uses Stephen King. You're focused on scandal, how the enemy uses scandal. You're focused on how 50 Shades of Grey, how the enemy uses the darkness of 50 Shades of Grey to terrorize the purity of what I have for love and marriage and relationship. What are you staring at? The Lord says. What are you so intent? What have you treasured so much? What have you taken and you just decided that you're going to lock your time down and ingest and invest into it and turn away from me? What is it giving to you? What it's giving to you is robbing you of your soul. It's robbing you of the benefits that I have for you as your benefactor. Do you want to get played by the devil and be robbed of everything I have for you? That's what the Lord asks you today. I look at David in Psalm 104, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You are the one who covers yourself with light as a garment, who stretches out heaven as a tent." That's Psalm 104, verse 1 and 2 in the Amplified. The Lord says, again, he says, "Praise me and do not forget, especially in the face of natural and spiritual seducers, that my benefits are endless." See, he says, don't forget. The Lord says, don't forget. And the place where you need not forget is when you are in the face of things that are trying to seduce you away from me, saith the Lord. So when scandal comes on, or these other demonic things come on to try to rob you of your soul and rob you of the benefits I have, you need not forget the blessings and the honor I have for you as your God, as your lover, the lover of your soul. He says, my benefits are endless. I am forgiving. I am healing. I am redeeming. I am crowning. I am loving. I am merciful. I am beautifying. I am dignifying. I am satisfying. I am merciful. I, the Lord God says, am renewing. I am freeing. I am holy. I am righteous. And God, the Lord, say that these are just a few of the things you undeniably receive by following, adhering, and loving me. My Lord Jesus. Oh, my God. God is good. God, you're awesome. I just praise you right now. I honor you today. I honor you today, God. There's none in the earth like you, Lord. There's none in all eternity like you, Father. So I love you for it. Okay, now, let me just go back here. God asked a question to Judah via the uncensored, unadulterated prophet Jeremiah. And he's asking the same question of our nation and of the church today. Now, if you can turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. Again, that's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Lord, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. The Lord's here. Jeremiah speaking, okay? It says, "Has a nation ever changed its gods, even though they are not gods? But my people," the Lord says, "my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit." That's P-R-O-F-I-T, of no benefit. Verse 12, it says, "Be astonished and appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked and shrivel up with horror, says the Lord, at the behavior of the people. Verse 13, it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which cannot hold water. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, my God. The Lord speaks and says this. He says, why you, O nation, bearing my name, America, why have you turned to broken cisterns? Why have you decidedly chosen to embrace that which will waste your good? The broken leadership, the broken faith, the broken finances, the broken promises, the broken unity, and the broken thinking cannot save you, says the Lord God. You brand my name, but consider me a shame. What have you gained from eschewing my name? Your policies, your plans, and your shams will have you damned. You build a dam in order to prevent my life-giving hand. Turn so you won't burn, says the Lord. Let not your hopes, your possessions, and your lands be consumed by your own brands, says the Lord. Again, I just want to say this. The Lord also spoke to me, and this is prophetic tonight, where God is speaking in first person. He is talking tonight. He says, am I your God, or am I a name badge you periodically wear? Do you love me, or do you just use me for perks? Do you think what you say about me is what you think and believe about me? I see your heart, and I see your words, and they don't match. Who is this that you revere and worship and honor like you would worship me? Who is this? Where is this individual leading the heart of the people? God says, I see behind your closed door, O America. If I were to come in your back door, do you want me to find and show you what you're hiding? My Jesus. God says, turn to him, 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 repent. Repent is not an evil sound. It sounds evil, but it's real simple. Just turn away from darkness. Turn unto his marvelous light. See his glory and be filled with his story in your life. Oh, my God. At some point, this is what the Lord wants us to deal with here. He really wants us. I'm going to read out of Jude, verse. There's only one chapter, verse 23 through 25. I want to read this here. I want to read this here. This is what we have to do, saints of God. This is what I'm doing tonight. I'm praying someone is blessed and turning to God tonight. It says, strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garments spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished blameless and faultless before the presence of his glory in triumphant joy and exaltation, with exaltation and with unspeakable ecstatic delight. To the one only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty and dominion and power and authority before all time and now and forever to the ages of eternity. So be it. So the Lord is saying that we have to, the Lord says we have to snatch some people out of this darkness. People are chained in darkness. People are chained to their TV screen. People are chained to their government. And God says we have to snatch them out of that darkness. Will you do that today? Will you snatch souls out of darkness? Yes, we have souls that are lost, but with the Lord, he is speaking unto his people tonight. People that call him as Lord and Savior. God says, either your treasure is with me or your treasure is with darkness. So turn back to me and I will preserve you from what the darkness had in store for you. My Lord Jesus, let me tell you something today. I just tell you, I look at Joshua, I think about Joshua and those words he shared, even back in the Old Testament, it still rings loud in my heart today. It rings loud in my heart today, Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And I'm going to read several verses. I'm going to start at verse 14. It says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped. Even now today, when they live beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt, serve the Lord alone. Verse 14. Verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors beyond the river Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites? And I interject, even the gods of America, in whose land you now live. But as for me and my family, particularly the Charles, we will serve the true and living God. Verse 16, the people reply, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. I interject, even in slavery in the land of America, God is saving us from. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness, among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove us out, the Amorites, and the nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is God. You can just look at the Lord today. Look at our nation. Let me read verse 19. It says, Joshua warned the people, and I warn you all today, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy and jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins if you abandon the Lord and serve other gods. He will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been good to you. That's a warning for us today. God says that if you turn away from the Lord and serve other gods, something that people are doing today, he says, repent. Don't let the Lord come and destroy you. We can see God using a destroying force in the world today known as ISIS. They're destroying Christians. They're destroying this nation. Pause on that. How have these enemies arrived that hate Christ and hate anything named Christ coming and destroying Christians through beheadings and killings and even through government legislation and lobbying? We have to understand now, saints of God, we have to turn away from the idols, turn away from the idol of government, turn away from the idol of culture, turn away from the idol of entertainment, and turn to our Lord God and serve him and love him and receive of him, receive his glory, and dispense the glory that he has. And we will be in good standing with the Lord God. The church needs to turn back to God now. So at this point, I want to just say a quick prayer. Before I say the prayer, I just want to share a couple of things. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Shante so she can share a few things. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. What an awesome and sobering word on tonight about the love of God, about trusting God to be our true benefactor. And I just wanted to reiterate some things that, Pastor, you shared tonight, and just some things that the Lord was speaking to me earlier today about, and he really took me back to the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as I was meditating on just their escape and how God was so merciful to them, he sent them a rescue team, you know, and I believe that God is doing that in this day and age. He's using the church as that remnant, as that rescue team to warn people, to wake them up, to awaken them to the love of God, to the benefits of the presence and the power of God. And as I was thinking on it today in my prayer time, the Lord said, don't let your environment change your conviction. Don't let your environment change your conviction. And that is so true for where we are right now in this country. There is so much about the environment of America that is slapping God in the face, that is mocking God, that is saying, hey, God, we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to have as many gods as we want to have. We're going to be as perverse as we want to be. And God is saying to the saints, and he's saying to the believers tonight, don't let your environment change your conviction. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how sinful it gets. I don't care how perverse it gets. Don't allow these things that you see to change your conviction. Don't become familiar with sin. Don't become cozy with sin. Don't become okay with sin. Because in the end, there is a judgment for those who choose to walk in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. The other thing, Pastor, you said tonight, you said to serve, that Joshua said, to serve the Lord alone. There are a lot of people, and I'm calling, challenging the Christians tonight. There are a lot of people who are serving the Lord, but they are not serving the Lord alone. They're serving the Lord in their fraternity. They're serving the Lord in their letters. They're serving the Lord, you know, and their commitments to other things. So we have to serve the Lord alone. Anything that is coming into conflict with the premise and with the call on your life to serve the Lord, it's a God. Anything that is wanting your time the way God wants your time, it's a God. Anything that is demanding loyalty and allegiance to it rather than God is a God. And so we have to understand that. Just like the children of Israel could not take the gods of Egypt over into Canaan, we cannot take the gods of Egypt. We cannot take the gods of Greece over into our Canaan land. We have to be willing to say, Lord, I know these things may have been acceptable where I was. I know these things may be acceptable in my family. I know I may have generations and generations and generations of family members who have been X, Y, and Z, or they've been involved in this organization, or they've been involved in this secret society. Just giving those as examples. But we can't take that over into our Canaan. The children of Israel, that new generation, because remember, the previous generation died off in the wilderness. So that new generation could not go in off of the previous generation's circumcision. So God is requiring us, our generation, to circumcise our life. We can't make it off of grandmother's prayers. They were good. But to go into Canaan, guess what? There's a prayer life that you have to have. There's an intimacy with God that you have to have. There's a cutting away of the flesh that God is requiring for this generation of people. Everybody's talking about how, you know, generals are dying off. People who have been, you know, serving the Lord 30, 40, 50 years in ministry who are going on to be with the Lord. Okay, generals are rising into the heavens, and generals are rising in the earth. God wants to know, are you going to be circumcised so that you can bring a generation, your generation, out of darkness into his marvelous light? That's what he is wondering. And so we don't want to test the credibility of God. God has a credibility, and I want to read you the definition of credibility, okay? Let me read that for you. It says, credibility is the quality of being believed or accepted as true, real, or honest. Get that? Credibility is the quality of being accepted as real, true, and honest. And God is saying the church right now is challenging his credibility. Is God who he says he is? Is God really to be believed? Is God really to be accepted? Is his word really true? Is his judgments really real? Is God really being honest about dealing with the body of Christ? This is what the church right now is challenging. We are challenging God's credibility. Every time we don't take God at his word, we are challenging his credibility. And so I don't want to go to God with a cistern, with a broken cistern. I don't want to go to God and say, fill me up, God, fill me up. And I've got all of these cracks in me because I haven't allowed the word of God to come in and seal me, the word of God to come in and repair me, the word of God to come in and make me whole. So we don't want to bring broken cisterns to the Lord. And if we don't turn, and I think this is very important, and I'm going to open up the lines after this. Pastor Robert's going to come back and pray. But we're going to also open the lines. But if we don't turn, God will turn and do to us what he has done to nations in the past. Nations that do not turn to the Lord, there is a judgment that comes. And so we cannot go before the Lord and say, oh, I'm God's favorite, and, you know, God doesn't see us. Yes, he does. He sees our nation as one nation under God. That's what we started this land out with. And so God is looking at the fact of, are we keeping our word? Or are we like the children of Israel, running out with the ark of the Lord and no God backing that ark? Are we trying to go into battle with other nations, you know, saying that God is with us because we have a form? We've got the ark in the midst of us, but God is not with that ark. And so this is a very sobering word, but it's a very needed word on tonight. So at this time, we are going to open up the lines, and our lines are open, so if you have any questions or comments, you may do so at this time.
Questions or comments?
Any questions or comments this evening? Praise God. if you don't, I understand. At least you're soaking in what God is saying, because I had to soak it in myself. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'll give you another minute before we move forward. Praise Jesus. Nobody's going to bite you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, ma'am. I have my phone on mute. This is Rochelle in Arkansas.
Praise God, Rochelle.
I thank God for the word on tonight. I'm really shy, so I'm trying to step out and talk. So please bear with me, but I had a lot of nuggets that I enjoyed on tonight, and one of them that stuck out to me was that I focus a lot on what Satan is doing in the world and how he's operating in the media, even though I don't watch television. I don't have TV, so that's just my choice. And recently I decided not to listen to a lot of music, mm-hmm. even though I'm a musician. You know, it's just what I've been led to do, but I just thank God for his word, and I learned not to focus on what Satan is doing, but to keep guard my heart and keep my eyes on God, because he is the light. So instead of looking at how he's operating in the world and the system, I'm really focusing on the darkness. But if I turn and keep my eyes on God, then I'll be elevated.
Amen.
Amen. That's very good, Rochelle. Because that's the very thing that God wants to do. He said that if you would just sit there and stare at what I have, behold my glory, behold what I have, your eyes will get so full, like that verse we said in the beginning, your eyes will get full of what is of God. And when your eyes get full of what's of God, it goes straight to your heart. And when it gets straight to your heart, there's no room for anything else. The only thing that's going to come out of you is the love and the power and the glory of God. So no matter where darkness is, no matter what's dangerous or filthy in the world, you won't have to stare at that. All you do is walk into that environment, open your mouth, and next thing you know, God's glory goes into that environment. And that's beautiful to understand once we realize these things, you see? Because a lot of people want to go scout out the darkness, go scout out this, go scout out this horror, go scout out this terrible thing. No, if you just sit there and scout out God,
amen.
And you get filled with him, no matter where you go, you can release his glory and exterminate darkness in that area that he has for you to walk and live in. Praise. Oh, well, thank God for your comments, Rochelle. I appreciate you. This is another side note. My wife and I, we pretty much stopped watching TV or and cable and stuff since 96, or at least for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's like there's nothing. I mean, you have 1,000 channels and 2,000 demons coming out of TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, you know, why would I want to continue to inject that into my spirit every night? There's people who would sit there and spend hours. From the moment they plop down from work, they turn the TV on, so they fall asleep and they give 5 minutes to God before they go pray and go to sleep and say that prayer warrior. You can't do that. You know, it's like that is not of God. You sat there and spent 6 hours ingesting demonic activity. They would spend 5 minutes asking God for help before you go to sleep. You know, we have to realize we are what we ingest. So praise God for you, and I just pray that God will continue to pour out his glory upon your clean, whole vessel. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. All right, thank God for you, Rochelle.
Any other questions or comments?
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ms. Rochelle. And at this time, if there are no other questions or comments, I see we have other callers, so I'm just assuming that they're choosing not to give a response tonight. So if we have no other questions or comments, Pastor Charles Robert is going to close us out in prayer.
Hallelujah. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your amazing, amazing, infinite, uncomprehendable love and glory that you have bestowed upon us, your beloved. Father, we thank you, Lord, for wanting to have us to yourself, God, because nothing else can fit our lives once you're in it. And God, we just pray for everyone who's on this line, who's heard this message from you, from your heart, God, that they would receive it in their heart. That, Lord, that they would just continue to let your glory marinate in their spirit, in their life. God, help people today to be broken from the bondages of sin, from the bondages from darkness, from the chains that have them held to things that are contrary to what you have for their life. Free your people, God. Let freedom reign in the hearts and the lives and the actions and the attitudes and the attributes of your people today. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, just we ask that you just resaturate, refill people, refill, oh God, people with your glory, God. Sit back again on the throne of their hearts, of our hearts, oh God, so that we can feel you and experience you, oh God, and just take in everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we thank God that as of this day, this 24th day of February of 2015, that'll be a marker for a new day, a new relationship, a new commitment, a new love affair, a new and emboldened covenant with you, God. We turn away from the affairs, illicit affairs with the world systems. And God, we embrace you, oh God, and recommit ourselves to you tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Right, here's Pastor Shante.
Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. I saw that some calls dropped at the end there. But we just thank God for those who were on the line tonight who were able to join us and share in the word. We are just thankful for this line. We are thankful for the vision and the visionary, Apostle Janet L. Clary. If you would like to give to this ministry, you can do so through PayPal at janetclaryministries@gmail.com. And I will say, she is good ground. We are hearing and seeing, and I know I can testify from my own life, just the fruit of sowing into profitable ministry, good ground ministry that is reaching across the world. This broadcast is also on other broadcast stations that plays 24 hours a day. So these broadcasts are going, reaching across and around the world, and we are so thankful for the open doors that God has made through this ministry. We also have notes in the group tonight in Apostolic and Prophetic Voices, so if you'd like to go back and see those notes, you are more than welcome to do so. Also, we will have the recording up shortly. Also, we want to let you know that in March, we are beginning a new series. We're going to have a guest on, Prophet Hikmet Hannah of the Hannah Channel. He will be giving us a special series, God's Truth is Marching On. And we encourage you to come back for the month of March, because we are going to be talking about some very, very serious topics, talking about end time ministry. We're going to be talking about a biblical worldview, what that looks like. And we're going to be equipping and training the believers so that you can go forth and be able to give an answer for the hope that is on the inside of you. So we are excited about what God is doing through these broadcasts. We invite you back again next Tuesday, 9 p.m., same place, same time. Again, thank you so much for joining us. God bless and good night.